Francisco Goldman has reported on wars in Central America, written novels about love and loss. His most recent novel, Say Her Name, a semi-autobiographical work about the death of his wife, won the 2011 Prix Femina Etranger in... You're laughing at my pronunciation. At least it wasn't Spanish. In his latest book, The Interior Circuit, A Mexico City Chronicle, he marks the fifth anniversary of his wife's death and reflects on the changes in his own life and the profound political and social changes shaping Mexico at large and Mexico City, where he now lives part of the year. It's published by Grove Press, and I'm very pleased to welcome Francisco Goldman back to our show.
Hi. It's a pleasure to be here again, Leonard.
You Thanks. Opened the book with a story about wanting to learn to drive in Mexico City. You've also lived in Brooklyn. Is it harder to drive in Mexico City?
I think it is. It's. I've always, you know, like a lot of New Yorkers, I don't drive that much. The years I was without a, you know, we'd go on road trips, go to the beach, whatever. We'd rent a car, but around the city, you know, like everybody else, taxis, subways. She did the driving in Mexico City when we were down there. First of all, I just never. I found it completely overwhelming, right? How do you ever figure out where you're going, right? And there are all these streets where you think you're on a one-way street, but there's a lane that's not even clearly marked off where trolley cars come opposite the traffic. And if you don't know that in advance, you can just get crushed. But what I really realized too when this kind of thing came up, two things led to what I call the driving game in the book, which was the seed of the book, is when I realized that I was approaching the fifth anniversary of Auda's death, my fifth anniversary of widowerhood, and it dawned on me one day that in those 5 years, I hadn't even sat behind the wheel of a car once, and it seemed to me so indicative of the kind of hermetic lethargy, ennui, of grief, nowhere to go, no reason to go anywhere kind of attitude. And I was really struggling against that, trying to break out of that. Finally, and I said, you know, I've never driven in Mexico City, hardly. It terrifies me. That's going to be my project. I'm going to learn to drive here, and I'm going to learn to drive standard, which I've never done. And the inspiration, there's this book, this Borgesian marvelous map book called the Guia Roja, which every taxi driver has. It's, you know, this fat, like phone book like thing of laminated map pages, that people use to find their way around Mexico City. And I thought that I would use that book like a kind of Ulipo game where I would use like the I Ching. I would open it up to any page, put my finger down with my eyes closed, and then I would have to try and get to that spot.
Well, we just did a segment last Friday on learning a foreign language as an adult. Yeah. Learning how to drive standard stick shift has to be even more difficult.
Yeah, I actually make that comparison in the book. I said, you know, it was always a dream of mine to learn Mandarin, but I don't think I could do it at this age. And, well, maybe I can learn standard. No.
One of the problems when you've lost a loved one and you spend a fair amount of time in a certain place is that every time you go past a restaurant or a movie theater or whatever, you remember, oh, I was there with the loved one. And does that make it more difficult for you to be in Mexico City?
Yeah, it makes it. Well, that's kind of what the book is about too. How my relationship to Mexico City changed after Auda died. How I was confronted with a challenge. It was either like flee, you know, because it's too painful to be there, or say because this is where my loved one is buried. Right. This is where my roots are. This is really my place now. This is where all my friends are. Where her friends are. These are the people who've helped me get through this period. And really, why don't I just go all in?
You describe how Mexicans and Americans react differently when you reveal that your wife died. In what way?
That's a hard thing to just say, you know, in a few words. But obviously, Americans are a little more uptight about it, famously so. Americans and even Europeans, you know, are often criticized. We've had so many books about
this. Well,
you
try to be discreet.
Discreet and also... I think that often they want to be a bit, not everybody, some people want to be a bit prescriptive, you know, the famous, don't you think it's time to move on kind of slogan. And first, maybe I was just very lucky in the kinds of friends I had around me in Mexico, but there was just much more warmer, more relaxed. People didn't, you know, I think, and I'm not criticizing anybody, but I knew that certain people stopped inviting me to dinner parties because it was too uncomfortable to have me there. And Mexico City just wasn't that way. And I say, maybe it's because we have cantina culture.
And maybe because you speak Spanish as well.
Yeah,
so you have two shared languages, actually.
Yeah.
The stereotype is that the Mexicans are more connected with death, after all. There's even a Day of the Dead, and there's a lot of popular art with skeletons in it.
Yeah. That's a subject I take on in the book. I think there's a lot of misconceptions and cliches about that aren't true. I say, you know, it's not that Mexicans don't have a mystical relationship to death any more than people in the United States because of Thanksgiving are all, you know, turkey whisperers. But they're certainly less discomforted by it. But
what is the cantina culture that you mentioned?
It's, you know, it's not that different from, you know, Irish and British pub culture. It's although it's more festive, it's livelier. The idea that, you know, they're places of neighborhood community. Any night of the week, I can go down to my neighborhood cantina, and this matters when you've been widowed and you're sitting at home at night, and find friends to hang out with, find people to sit around with, and you know that's just it's not like that in New York.
My guest is Francisco Goldman, whose latest book is The Interior Circuit, a Mexico City Chronicle. You write that you became interested in the student protests and election in 2012 in Mexico, partly because of Aura. How did she influence how you saw the student protest?
It was a remarkable moment, and it's a decisive moment in the book. I kind of begin to really pay attention to what's going on in Mexico, in Mexico City, kind of for the first time in my life there. And in response to the return of the PRI, the imminent election of Enrique Peña Nieto as Mexico City, the return of the perfect dictatorship.
Almost the PRI were in power for a very long time.
All through the 20th century, practically.
And they also had student protests in 1968, which ended rather tragically when students were cornered in front of a famous cathedral.
Yeah.
And
massacred.
Massacred.
Right. And this was the first mass student movement Mexico City had seen since then. And it awoke in response to the Peña Nieto election, the role that the media was, the big kind of media monopolies were playing in that. And it was just this moment of extraordinary effervescence, you know. I mean, millions of people at the marches. It's they almost swung the election. I mean, the country began to wake up. It was very close in the end.
PRI promised that it wasn't going to return to the way it used to conduct business. Has that happened? How has its return to power affected things like free speech in Mexico, journalism?
According to all the groups that monitor press riots, violence against the press, intimidation against the press, has increased. There was all sorts of media pressure. You talk to other Mexico City reporters who said, under, you know, not that the previous regime was so great, but they felt that they could report on disappeared people, the civilian casualties of the narco war. All of a sudden, editors were telling them that they were under extreme pressure now not to publish stories on that anymore. Pressure coming from above. The PRI is a culture, right? Almost regardless of what Peña Nieto's individual intentions might have been, and I don't think they're good, by the way. But regardless of that, you're in power, you know, for that many years. The PRI is from the ground up, extraordinarily deep, widespread. It spawned its own political culture throughout the police, throughout every institution in Mexico. It doesn't change that much in just 12 years out of power.
But it originally was a revolutionary group, the Institutional Revolutionary Party, and considered to be left. Now there is a party to its left, and there are the conservatives to its right.
Yeah.
What does PRI have an ideology?
I think the PRI ideology, sadly, has been a kind of authoritarian ideology, a kind of an attempt to sort of from within the federal government, sort of gain control over everything from
kind
the ground
up. Kind
of
like the Chinese Communist Party?
Kind of like a lot like Putin in Russia. It's a real culture of corruption. And not that the PRD is much better, not that the PAN is much better, but let's say if Mexican political parties are generally popularly regarded by the population themselves as being almost a form of organized crime, it's very much in league with it always, the PRI is really good at it, the other parties not so much.
Now, I visited Mexico as a tourist this past January. I was totally oblivious to all of this and threats of violence. Mexico City does feel like a safe city as long as you don't hail a cab on the street. You're told that that you either have the hotel get you a cab or the restaurant get you a cab. But other than that, it feels perfectly safe, despite the fact that all of my friends were worried for me. Yeah. Oaxaca is another case. As long as you stay in the center of town, it's about as safe as any city I've ever been to. So are there a couple of different Mexicos going on at the same time?
There are very different Mexicos going on. I mean, people say it's about two-thirds of the country, you know, where the narco war is really manifest, where the political institutions in those states really are kind of controlled by organized crime. Mexico City, we all say, is a bubble. It's like repeated over and over. It's hard to imagine this megalopolis being considered a bubble, but that's how we have felt for years there. It's been governed in a different way. It's been governed by the left. We've had extraordinary good fortune.
It's had a couple of very good mayors. It's
excellent mayors. López Obrador, Marcelo Ebrard, who turned out to be my upstairs neighbor, you know, which was a great opportunity to learn a lot about how the city is run.
But even in Mexico City, I was told there are parts of Mexico City you don't go to. On the other hand, I was told that that's true of pretty much every city in the world.
Yeah, there's parts of New York City where you feel menaced walking around. You know, it's my girlfriend grew up in popular barrios in Mexico City, and she said she visited certain barrios with her friends here in New York this year and said they felt scarier to me than any place I'd ever been in Mexico City. But on the whole, Mexico City has been, you know, since 98 when they had their first elections, because, as you know, the PRI used to appoint the Mexico City mayor. When they began to elect their own mayor, they turned to the left. Cuauhtémoc Cárdenas, a great figure. López Obrador, Marcelo Ebrard, and the city has, you know, found itself by 210 with pretty much the same murder rate as New York City.
Now, Cuauhtémoc Cárdenas actually won an election, but then was deprived of it by the PRI. Yeah. This was at a time when everybody assumed that PRI would never give up power.
Yeah. People assume that. I think that Mexico, it's a little bit like what happened in the World Cup game yesterday. Mexico had its great opportunity to seize a triumph.
It dominated the whole game and then lost.
It dominated the whole game and then reverted to form and panicked and lost, and of course had a very, very unjust ruling at the end. But 2000 was the great chance to change Mexico. And the PAN, the right-wing business party that was took power, and the other politicians, the other parties, it was squandered.
Now, there was a wave of violence in Mexico City in the summer of 2013. Any reason for that?
Mexico City, as people say in the book, it's almost a refrain when you talk to people who are close to how the city works. Mexico City works in ways that nobody wants to see broken. And something broke in the summer of 2013. I follow that story, the story of the abduction of 13 young people from the barrio of Tepito from an after-hours club. It's a classic narco-cartel lifting and murdering with inexplicable savagery. It's the kind of crime that wasn't supposed to happen in Mexico City. And that as you follow its winding trails, you begin to sense that whatever it is between corrupt police, cartels, government, whatever keeps that city usually calm and fairly safe, had at least for the time being broken.
We have very little time, but were the protests, the student protests in 2012, similar to the Occupy movement in New York? And the rest of this country?
I think a similar spirit, closer to in spirit to the great extraordinary student movement down in Chile of 2011, 2012. Mm-hmm. But what it had in common with Occupy is it seems that after it had its great moments of sort of, you know, massive charisma, it kind of vanished. When the election was over, when Peña Nieto was installed as president, it kind of seemed to have no more reason to exist, and it subsided.
And he has a six-year term?
Six-year term, yeah.
Francisco Goldman will be reading and signing books tonight at 7 p.m. at 192 Books. That's at 192 10th Avenue in Manhattan. More information is on our show page at WNYC.org. The book, his most recent book, is called The Interior Circuit, A Mexico City Chronicle, and it is published by Grove Press. Francisco, it's always a pleasure having you on our show. Thank you so much for stopping by today.
Thanks for inviting me, Leonard. It was great. Thanks.